whether you're visiting with us this morning or whether you've been here for a while, I think it's important for us to note that just even as we saw this morning play out, that that's actually the Lord's way of how He wants church to be like. Amen. There's not a professional. No, it's like actually all of us are just children in the house of God. And God has given each and every one of us a different grace and a different function to accomplish His will. And for some, He has given here this morning, but not just this morning, but for this time, He's given an eldership team to bring direction, to set doctrine, and to bring discipline. And that discipline is not just the discipline of, when we hear the word discipline, we think usually paksla, okay? That's not what it means, you know, like hiding. That, just for those that don't understand Afrikaans, I don't know what it is in Xhosa. What? Chaya, okay, or just ouch, okay. No, it's actually, discipline is actually the consistent exercise of where we are going and how we meant to do it. Amen. And to help us in that, to bring discipline to the things of God, to walking with God, to walking out the Word of God. And this morning is a great example of where someone brings a word or a tongue, and Scripture's clear that when that tongue comes, that we ought to weigh it. We ought to hear it. We ought to consider what it's saying. And so that if it's not the Lord speaking, then we need to make sure that we disregard that. And that's again where the elders come into their function that the Lord has graced them for this time, to bring that doctrine, to set the doctrine in place, to make sure that we keep to the way that God wants church to be. And then as it's happening, that we make sure that we keep the line, the discipline of God's word as He leads us. Amen. And so if you still have some questions regarding that, please feel free to come and ask us. But I believe this is something for me this morning, even as I'm speaking and knowing what I want to speak into this morning. Well, I believe the Lord is coming and confirming and bringing direction to us as a people. Amen. So this morning, I think for the next while, we're going to kind of be hanging in this place of the presence of God. So I'm just going to say this morning, the title of the preach is The Presence of God, Part 1. Okay, there might be 7 parts, there might be 2 parts. We'll camp around the presence of God, and until God moves on, we move on. Amen. So we're coming out of Easter, and Easter has been that time where we celebrate both the fact that Jesus has died for our sins, amen, and He's paid the way and the debt that was owed on our behalf towards God. And also what we didn't necessarily have a service on Sunday, but Sunday was Resurrection Sunday. And so for some of us needed to be resurrected on Monday because our legs were so stiff. I've spoken to a couple of people where their legs were so stiff of all the Easter eggs and the running and the 5 kilometers. I actually wanted to do a slide with Martin. He absolutely thrashed everyone. He ran the 5Ks in 22 minutes, okay? And it was like 4 minutes 16, hey? Average. 4 minutes 16, a kilometer, okay? And we had, who was the other one? I can't remember. Angelo was just second. He was 23. And somewhere there at the back was Roland. At the back of them, I'm just joking, Roland. I needed to give him an honorable mention. He was our champion. He's not anymore, but we still love you, okay? No. So we celebrated these things, but what we celebrate here is the fact that Jesus stood up out of the grave. There's never been anyone before Him and anyone since Him that has accomplished that. There's people that died and they would say that they have an experience in heaven or experience with God, experience in hell, and would come back, but eventually they would die again. So they still died. Jesus today, as we stand here, is not dead. He is alive. He stood up out of the grave. spoke to people, many of his disciples didn't believe that he's alive. He had to rebuke them and go like, you should have known. And so he showed them and then spent 40 days with them more or less. And that's this time period where we are now. And just thinking on this and thinking about this, I was like, man, can you imagine? You're not spending time with just a person. But it's like it's been sealed, it's been confirmed, it's been everything you've been spending. It's the closest that anyone has gotten to heaven until we get to heaven was the disciples spending time with Jesus after he got raised from the dead. And after 40 days, which we will celebrate a bit later, is the ascension of Jesus, where he ascended into heaven. And we are waiting for that day that he said he's coming back soon. We're waiting, anticipating, and eagerly awaiting for him to come back. And then when he comes back, he takes all those who has his name, who bears his name, who is part of him, he takes us with him. But that doesn't mean that today as we sit here that we have no relationship with him. No. He said, I will send my Holy Spirit. And so even though he's there and he's alive, there's a clear and a very tangible and physical sense that actually even here today, in this time that we have been together, that he is here. And this morning I want to kind of camp around the presence of God. Because I believe it's one of the things that actually define us as the people of God is his presence. 1 John 4 verse 9 says this, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we have loved, but that God loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. I want to say to you here this morning that God loves us. His presence has very little to do with what you are able to conjure up or make happen yourself, actually. His presence is him loving us. And he sent Jesus, his Son, into the world so that for me and you, here today, since that day, and until the day that he comes back, so that me and you can come into his presence. And we can know and be aware that he is alive, that he loves us, that he's got a plan and a future for us, that he is the one true God which holds salvation, which holds the keys to life and death in his hands. That is where we are at here today. And it came all from him. It didn't come from anything you have done or that I have done or the worship team have done. No, it came from him. He sent his Son for us. And he wants me and you to know this morning that he loves you. He loves you with a love that is unimaginable. It's a love that we cannot even try to even copy or accomplish because it's just so big. He sent his only Son to us so that we might find him. See, I know that we love God. We know that we love God and that God loves us in our minds. But this morning I want to ask us, do we really understand what this means? See, the thing is, and I want us to understand this morning, that when God's love comes, his presence is there. God's love and the promise of his love is the promise of his presence. And we can't separate these two. We can't separate the love of God from the presence of God. And I know for many of us, we do. We sit and we go, I know God loves me. And we and sometimes actually hope, I really hope that God loves me. It doesn't feel like it. It feels like he doesn't know me. It feels like he's not aware of what's going on inside me, around me, with the people, how they are treating me. I want to say to us this morning that the presence of God and the love of God is one and the same thing. And I'm going to explain that to us as we go on. And I want to say this as just a disclaimer. That we tend to think that my relationship with God is something that is personal and private. I think there's a secret side to our relationship with God. But as much as Helen and myself, who's my wife, there's a part of our relationship that is not private at all. You guys hear what I'm saying? As you can see that we're married, you can see that we love each other, you can see that sometimes we don't disagree, you can see that sometimes we struggle to find one another, sometimes we run together like this, all the dynamics of a relationship, there's a part of it that you can see. Probably more of it that you can see because you spend time with us and you're in our home and it's here at the church and it's like, but there's a part of our relationship that is completely secret. That we won't let anyone into. Because it's there. It's like, sorry for those that are not married and young, but there's a side in the bedroom that is, it's secret. It's for me and her. And the same way with God, most of our relationship with God is not actually private, but it's shared amongst the saints within the family of God. But there has to be a side to it that it's secret. It's intimate. And so this morning, I'm talking about the presence of God, both in the part that is revealed to all, but also the part, and very importantly, the part that is secret. Because I think we're very good at sharing our relationship of that we have with God in the public. But not often do we find ourselves in a place where we are secretly and intimately with Him. Do you hear what I'm saying? Does it make sense? This morning I want to come and get us to the place where we can know that God loves us. That God loves us. He loves us so, so much. And that His love opens up His presence for us. And I'm going to show us why I'm saying that. In 1 John 4 verse 7, it says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves a child of God, is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love." See, so with what Jesus has done on the cross, He's opened up the way for us to come into His presence. Amen? Do we agree on that? And so the day that we get to come into His presence, that is the day that we don't just experience His love from afar, but in the moment when we are with Him and in His presence, we experience His love. And so His presence and His love is one thing. They come and they walk together. 1 John 4:16, "We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in His love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them." The presence of God and the love of God is one and the same. So I can't say that I love God if I don't find myself spending time in the presence of God. See, we can't have God's love without His presence. We can't say that we know God's love without knowing His presence. So oftentimes, even when we come here in church, how much time do you sometimes struggle to actually struggle to find and connect the presence of God? Which try and work it up. Maybe if I lift my hands. Maybe if I jump. Maybe if I shout loud enough. Oh man, I didn't read enough Bible this week. Oh man, I didn't spend enough time in prayer this week. We try and accomplish this thing of God's presence all by ourselves. But it's actually because we don't really understand that He loves us. And so we find ourselves far away from the love of God, but now we're trying to push into the presence of God and not realizing that the love of God and the presence of God, they're one and the same thing. He has loved us. He first loved us. And here's what I want to get to this morning. 1 John 2, verse 1 to 2 says this. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. Not for us only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, as an Afrikaans guy, that word has always scared the living daylights out of me. Having to say it, having to read it, having to understand it, it's just... But in some ways, I've come to love this word. Propitiation. And this morning, I want to just quickly dig into what that means. To propitiate means to satisfy the wrath of God against sin. So you can keep that scripture up there, please, Dylan. So when it says that He is the propitiation, it means He's the one who propitiated and propitiated what was needed in order for our sins to be paid. Now we look at it and we go like we just have some dirty stuff and God's coming to clean it. But actually the thing that we need to see here, that if you're not with God, you are completely against God. There is no gray area here. There is life with God and there's death eternal without God. And propitiating, when Jesus came and He propitiated for our sins, He was the propitiation for our sins. I'm struggling to use this word right. But it means that He took away the wrath of God. He made the way where God is not angry with me and with you anymore. But He's made the way where God can be love with us. That we can find His presence and know that He loves us. If He didn't take away that, if He didn't pay for the wrath of God and took the wrath of God on Himself, today we would not know His love. And so when we come to the presence of God, when we come to walk with God, what we need to understand is that God loves us so much and that the way has been made clear. There's no longer any wrath towards you and towards me. It's no longer a thing that God is saying like, hey, Harry, you haven't done enough today. Hey, Gerbrand, man, you should sort your life out. Yes, I love you. No, it's been taken away. If Gerbrand comes today and he stands in front of Jesus and says, Jesus, I'm yours. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. As the one who was the propitiation for my sins. He is welcome in the presence of God. not based on anything that he has done or not done, but based purely on what we have celebrated at Easter, that Jesus went to the cross, he paid the price, came through the grave, and stood up out of the grave, having been made holy and glorious, and have paid and been the propitiation of all sins, yours, mine, and all of the world. That is what was necessary to be done for you and for me to find the presence of God, to come to understand that He loves you and me. Nothing else. Nothing else. We can't add to that. See, but we come into church and we come into conversations. And the thing that we do is we try and work up this thing of, I can be the presence of God. And we don't say that, and we don't necessarily always think that, but we try and formulate. I want to say to you today, this morning, as we sit here, there's churches all around us. And they've got lights, and they've got all kinds of ways to kind of make people believe that they are okay, and that the presence of God is there. I don't know if he's there. What I do know, that right here inside of me, God is here. Because I've come to know him. I've given my life to him. I spent time with him. I've spent time with him today. So when we come together as church, we're not trying to formulate or produce the presence of God. No, we come together as those that come with the presence of God together. And so we find God even in a greater degree together. Amen? To propitiate means to turn away God's wrath, to offer a sacrifice that appeases God's just judgment and righteous anger against us and our sin. It's not anything that we have done. God gave, God sent, His word came, and He made a way for us. And I want us to quickly look at that. See, so much of our relationship with God, we depend on ourselves to accomplish this relationship with God. And we base on whether we can find the presence of God on how much we've done or have not done, on or what we have done wrong or what we haven't done wrong. And that's where we kind of come and we put confidence in our flesh. And we try and work up. We think maybe it's a song. Maybe on a Sunday morning, it's a song that actually opens up the presence of God. Or maybe it's the music we play in the background. Or maybe it's a person that's fasted and prayed for 40 days. And, you know, because they have devoted themselves to God, then when they come into the room, then there's something that happens here. But it's not. It is Jesus alone. And the heart of God is for me and for you to be with Him. It's been like that since the beginning, since Genesis. God's heart is to be with us, His people. And every time we stray away, He finds a way to bring us back so that we can come back to Him. And even here this morning, I want to say to you, God is more interested in spending time with you than what all the passion in your bones can be to burn to be in the presence of God. Does that make sense what I'm saying? God is so much more passionate and so much more invested and so much more wants you to know Him and to spend time with you so that you can understand that He loves you. But yet we find this way to kind of remove ourselves from God and think, no, Lord, I haven't done enough. And all that God is doing is going like, my presence is open. Jesus has paid the way. He took away the wrath. Come to me. That's all. We see cracks in ourselves and it takes us out of the presence of God. It takes us even, we forget that He's paid the way. We forget that it's Him that does this. There's a quick picture I want to show you. Just maybe, Dylan, if you can put that picture up. It's a little bowl. You might have seen this story on Facebook or wherever. But this is a Japanese pottery. And it's called Kintsukuri. Something like that. Just say it fast and confident. And this is basically, they take a pot and they break it on purpose. And as they break it on purpose, the plan is then to put it back together, and they've got gold that they use in order to glue this pot together. So that at the end of it, that even though in its broken form, in some sense useless form, it makes it precious. And something that I see in the presence of God is, we are like pots that are broken. And so we come into the presence of God, and then we see these cracks and we go like, oh, I can't be there. I'm not even going to attempt to go there. I can't spend time with God in the week. I know you want to. I know there's a deep desire of, man, I'm going to put out in my day time to spend with God. And then when that moment comes, you just go like, ah, oh, I don't know. Because we're scared. We're scared actually of what God is going to do. We're scared of what God is going to say. We know we want it, but actually we don't do it. But see, the presence of God is like that gold that comes in between the cracks. That as we come into the presence of God, God comes with His glory, with His love, and He starts filling the cracks in us. He starts making us new again. See, that little pot was just a bowl. It was just a bowl. But the moment that gold was taken and it's put together, it stopped just becoming a little insignificant pottery bowl. It became something way more. It can't be that without the gold in between the cracks. So the thing at the end of the day that makes the bowl beautiful and that gives the bowl worth is the cracks. In me and in you, those cracks that's in us, the things that we know like this does not look like God, this is not good enough for God, those are the things, if we can find ourselves to come into His presence and His presence touches us, those are the things where the glory of God comes and it heals, it saves, it pours the gold in between the cracks in us, and it's the thing that ends up defining us as His. It's a thing that ends up making us beautiful to Him. God loves you and me. So I want to go in and I'm going to end off with this. John 3:16 says this. For this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent His Son into the world, not to judge, but to save the world through Him. So as me and you are sitting here this morning, and you maybe have given your life to Him, and you have said that He is my personal Lord and Savior. But you know, just as much as I know, that you have not given yourself to His presence. Because you felt like, man, I'm like that pot. I've got too many cracks. I want to say to you this morning that God came and He sent His Son into the world. Not to judge, but to save. That is why you've given your life to Him. Because He came to save you. Now, where you are right now, I want to encourage you. Allow Him to save you even more. Allow Him to work in your life to a greater degree. Because that's why He came. God gave his son. He made the first move. God sent his son to make us new, all of us. It's he gave, we received. Genesis 3 verse 8 says this, and they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? They there, in the most perfect of places. And what are they doing? They're hiding themselves from the presence of God because of the cracks. Because of the cracks inside of them, they're hiding themselves from the presence of God. Where God comes and he walks in the cool of the day, and he goes, hey, Adam, Eve, where are you? See, we can read that and go like, I think God knew. I think God knew what happened. But yet he was still in a place where he was looking out for them. Still in a place where he was searching them out. Okay, where are you? And so just as much as we take that picture and we apply it to Jesus, we see, what did he do? He took his son and he sent him into the world. So that where they are hiding, that they can be, that they can come out of hiding and go, hey, where are you? I'm here. Do you see that? Do you see that God comes? He sent first. He gave first. He's the one that's coming to you and to me, and he's saying, be with me. Where are you? So this morning, I want to ask you, where are you? Where are you? In the Old Testament, we see this. We see so many times that the Bible says the word of God came to Jeremiah. The word of God came to Ezekiel. The word of God came to Elijah. The word of God came to Zephaniah. The word of God came to Amos. What are we hearing that? It's that the word of God came to them. Jesus came to you and me. In the Garden of Eden, God came to Adam and Eve. See, God made the way clear. And there's this story in Samuel that we all know. And I'll quickly read it for us. In Samuel 3 verse 1, it says, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions. And so what we see here is that Samuel, he's in the temple, and he's with Eli, and he's ministering to God. Okay? And then we know what happened. Samuel kind of went to bed, and it's like, Samuel, God starts speaking to Samuel. Actually, God speaks to Samuel and calls Samuel. Samuel didn't call God. God calls to Samuel. But then in verse 7, it says this. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the third time the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and he said, here I am, you called me. And then Eli realized, like, man, the Lord is speaking actually to Samuel. But the thing I wanted you to see then, you can keep that up, is that Samuel did not yet know God. He was in the presence of God, in some sense with Eli, but he yet didn't yet know the Lord. But only when God spoke to him and his word came to him, did Samuel open up and realize this is the Lord, and the Lord received him and the Lord brought him into his presence. And what that says to me, that even for us here this morning, we've heard the whole morning of invitations of God actually, same as with Samuel, going, hey, calling out. He's inviting out. Who will hear me? Who will come to me? There's an invitation into the presence of God. And God is saying, come in. The way is clear. Don't hold back. Don't be afraid. Come in. See, because God wants us with Him. He wants you and me with Him. And there's some of us that are in the presence of God, but we're like Samuel, that it actually doesn't know God. But God is calling us into His presence. Into that place where it's His love that is accomplished in us. It's not something that we have done. It's not something that we have earned. It's not something that we have accomplished. It's His love coming and His love encircling us, comforting us. His love envisioning us. His love burning inside of us. Revelations 1, verse 1 to 2 says this. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servant the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. And the thing I want us to see there, he made it known by sending his angel to the servant John. If there's one thing that I want you to walk away with here this morning, is that God has made the way absolutely clear. God has sent, God gave, God came, His word came, He sent out His Son, He sent His angel. God has made the way absolutely clear, and His word has come to you and to me. And all that we need to do here this morning is say, here I am, Lord, speak to me. There's no working up. It's not like those old cars that you have to wind up to step into the presence of God. No. God has come here and He's saying, my way is clear. There is no longer a wrath that is looking and going like, who's going to step wrong? And the moment you step wrong, I'm going to smack you. Psalm 27 verse 8 says this. And this is what God is saying to us this morning. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. And this morning I want to ask you, where are you? I believe in this time that God is speaking to us and is going to continue to speak to us about His presence. Because He wants you and me in His presence. He doesn't care about what you know. He doesn't care about what scriptures you can rattle off. He doesn't care about how gloriously you can pray or how good you can sing a worship song. No, no. He cares about you and me looking at Him, seeing Him, knowing Him, and coming to that place of receiving that He actually loves us. And from that place where we see that we come and would we love Him back. That's what God wants to do here. Even this morning with Harry, Malachi 3, return to me and I will return to you. That's where God is this morning. And I know that as I'm standing here, I'm going like, Lord, there's so many spaces in my life where I know like I'm hiding. But Lord, I want to return to you. And so I'm ending off with this. And I've now said it again previously, but this is it. See, the presence of God we need to make space for him. God is not like this slot machine that you kind of put your prayer in, or you put your scripture verse that you read, or your devotional that you put it into the machine and go, ching, okay, presence of God. Oh, I feel the bubbles and the, oh, that's not how it works. No, the psalmist says, my heart yearns. I long to be in your presence. It's like there's a unction. There's a, I want to be there. And I know we think that our lives are busy, but I want to say to you, your life is not busy enough. I'm going to quickly give you a couple of stats here. Of just, these are, so on your phone, you've got a little feature that says to you how much you're using your phone and what apps you're using your phone on. And I know most people try to put that off because you don't actually want to see it. But I want to challenge you to maybe go and look at that. I know I have, and it's not good. And so we tend to think that we don't have space for God. And so these stats here is just more or less of, like, you know, Google and all the people that are watching you through your TV and your microphone or your, I mean to say, your microwave. These microphones in your house, you know, all those kind of things. They've taken these stats, and it's an American stat, so we are not like America at all. just a joke. We strive to be like them. Amen. Making space. So here's an average for people. Plus minus 5 hours a day on your phone. It's going to be more or less. For some more, for some less. TV, up to 4 hours a day. Music, 4 hours a day. Phone calls, plus minus 3 hours a day. I don't know who still listens to radio, but radio, 2 hours a day. Face-to-face conversations, maybe 1 hour a day. That comes down to about 19 hours in your day. Okay? You still need to sleep. So when you go look at that, you actually go like, we probably spend 3/4 of our day on things that don't actually matter. I want to call it noise. And 1/4 of our day on sleep. And we struggle to find why it is that we're feeling far away from God. We struggle to find why it is why we're struggling to hear His voice. Because His voice is speaking. And He's consistently saying, I love you. He's consistently saying, I've got a plan for you. I'm making a home for you. See, we tend to think that God thinks of us. It's just, Rian hasn't done this. He hasn't done that. Oh, man, he's just wasting that. But nowhere do we see that that's how God treats people. No. He gave His Son. He sent His Word. He sends His angel. He first loved us. Every single time, from Him, oozes love towards us. So that we might accept it. And as we accept it, we come into His presence. And we get to know, man, He really, really loves me. Let's close our eyes. I want to go back to my question of where are you? I want to ask you this morning that you, because you don't owe me an answer. You don't owe any of us an answer. But I do believe this morning that God is asking, where are you? And what's been clear this morning is that there's an invitation from the presence of God for us to come close, for us to come near, for us to come into His presence, for His love to come and redeem us, to come and heal us, to come and make us new, just like that little pottery cup. It's time for us as His people to come back to His presence. Stop hiding in the bushes. And so there where you're at this morning, I want to ask you, can you maybe step out, and step away from the bushes? And as God is asking, where are you? Can you maybe come and say, God, here I am. I'm cracked. I'm broken. I haven't done enough. Maybe I haven't done anything at all. And He's just going to say, that's okay. My son Jesus, He has done all that is needed.